Lake Mungo. Losing a loved one is one of the most traumatic experiences that most people will go through, and the way that any given individual handles that varies from person to person. Some bury themselves in their work to keep their minds off of it. Others struggle with grief and pain in the absence, and still others manage to take it in stride, comforted by friends, families, and beliefs. Lake Mungo is a film about grief, specifically about the death of a child, and how one family navigates their shared pain. In the process, they discover that they didn't really know the departed as much as they thought, and begin experiencing things that they can't rationally explain. Let's take a look. The film takes place in the small Australian town of Ararat, and opens with an emergency call placed by June Palmer on December 21st, 2005. During the call, she frantically states that they're at a dam, and her daughter Alice has gone missing. We then see a news report from the following day discussing the disappearance of 16-year-old Alice Palmer, who still has not been located. Alice's father, Russell, then explains that her and her brother Matthew had swum out to the middle of the dam when Matthew decided to get out. A few minutes later, he asked where Alice is, finding the water to be completely still. That was the last time they saw her, and after the search and rescue divers arrived, the family was told to go home and await any news. June remarks on how strange it was to drive back home from that, with one empty seat. Russell called June's parents to inform them, with them quickly driving in, and June also states that having her mother there was strange, as it didn't feel like the right order of things. June later called Alice's boyfriend, Jason, informing him of what happened, and he says that it was a hard thing for him to believe, so he tried calling Alice's phone, hoping that it was just a joke. The interviewer asks Russell if there are any memories of that first night that stand out to him, and he says that he remembers that they had the porch light on, and they still do. When asked why, Russell hesitates, unsure, but chuckles and says, just in case she comes home. On December 24th, Search and Rescue located Alice's body on a shelf at the bottom of the storm water system in the dam. June and Russell went to the dam to identify the body and to sign a statement, although June stayed in the car. Russell believes that, in hindsight, that was a mistake, as she didn't see Alice's body and didn't have any closure. But June just couldn't bring herself to look, not wanting to remember her daughter in that way. June's mother comments on how strange it was to spend Christmas with the family while Alice's body was laying in the morgue, and Matthew says that her death didn't feel real yet. 10 days after the funeral, some strange things started happening around the Palmer house, including noises on the roof and movements that seemed to come from Alice's room. They decided to rehang the door to her room and get pest control to check for termites, but the noises continued. A friend of the family remarks that there was something very strange about their house, and she'd get a bad feeling in her gut whenever she went. June began having some very distressing nightmares, including a recurring one in which Alice would come walking down the hall, still dripping wet from the dam, and just stand at the foot of their bed, staring. By early February, the nightmares grew so bad that she would go for walks at night, sometimes for hours at a time, just so she didn't have to go to bed. Sometimes, she would even go into other people's houses, feeling like she just wanted to be inside of someone else's life for a while. Russell, meanwhile, was working a lot during this time, with his coworker explaining that Russell seemed to be carrying on as normal, which was troubling to him, but it wasn't his place to tell him how he should be feeling. Russell says that he was really grateful about having his work, despite feeling guilty about that at the time, but he just wanted to get on with it. One night in late February, however, he came home from work and was sitting in the kitchen when he heard a noise coming from Alice's room. While investigating it, he found himself sitting in her chair by her dresser, when suddenly Alice walked in and started sharpening a pencil and checking her phone, oblivious to his presence. Russell was freaked out and inadvertently made a noise that caused her to turn around, look at him in the eye, and start yelling for him to get out. Afterwards, June and Matthew found him in the kitchen, sobbing. The friend of the family says that she wasn't really sure how to offer comfort to the Palmers, as they aren't churchgoers, and she was mostly concerned about Matthew, who was close to Alice and was spending a lot more time by himself now. Shortly after Alice's death, he went into the doctor with his body covered in unusual bruises, but they were unable to turn up anything conclusive about what caused them. Matthew had an interest in photography and began working for a local photographer, taking a number of photos in his spare time, including a recurring picture of the Palmer's backyard every few months. The April 28th photograph, however, shows what appears to be Alice standing in the yard. Matthew says that the photo improved the mood of the family, giving them something to focus on. A local man, Bob Smeet, took some photographs near the dam where Alice drowned, with one of them appearing to show Alice in the distance. June remarks that the photo was incredibly unsettling, and she became convinced that Alice was actually still alive. Well, Russell had no rational explanation. He had seen Alice's body, so he knew that she wasn't alive, but June was convinced that Russell had made a mistake. She was so convinced that Russell started to have doubts himself, and so more than 3 months after the funeral, they decided to have her body exhumed for a DNA test. The results were that the body was indeed Alice's, and Russell admits that it was only after the results came in that he realized how much he was hoping that he had made a mistake in identifying her, and that it was someone else's kid that drowned instead of his. Unfortunately, then, they still had no answer for what was going on with those photos, and the noises continued throughout the house. Matthew decided to set up a camera in the hallway outside of Alice's room to see if he could capture anything, and footage shows a figure walking down the hall in the middle of the night. It was around this time that June reached out to psychic consultant Ray Khemeny, whom she had heard for years on the radio, noting that opinion on him was quite divided. Ray explains that when he's dealing with the sick or the dying, he allows them the possibility that death is not a bitter end, and there could be something after. June says that she liked Ray immediately, with there being nothing spooky or fake about him. During their session, June closes her eyes and pictures herself walking through her house towards Alice's room. She can see Alice's shoes outside of her room, and upon entering, says that she sees Alice sitting in a chair at the end of her bed, looking sad. After the initial consultation, June invited Ray over to the house for dinner, with Russell stating that, while he's indifferent about psychics, he didn't really want them coming around for dinner, but he didn't want to upset June either. A few days later, Ray suggested to the family that they hold a séance. June was quite keen on doing one, but Russell flat out refused until Matthew convinced him otherwise. Matthew says that he was curious about the séance, thinking it might be interesting, and he suggested that they film it. During the séance, Ray says that he's feeling a strong presence in this room and in the house, but otherwise doesn't get any sort of tangible response. June says afterwards that they all thought the séance was pretty much a failure, but when Matthew was reviewing the footage, he spotted what appears to be Alice standing in the background. Russell says that unlike the hallway footage, this was far less ambiguous, and it was impossible to dismiss it as a coincidence of shadows and digital noise. Ray admits that this was pretty uncharted territory for him, as he had never seen a ghost before, and so he got Matthew to help him set up 3 permanent cameras around the house to continuously record. The locals began to talk quite a bit about Ray and what exactly he was doing with the Palmers, with some believing him to be a con artist, stealing their money and doctoring the photos of Alice. He states that he could see that Matthew was struggling and thought he might be able to help him by being there, but his chief motive was professional. He wanted to find out what exactly was going on at the Palmer house. A video from July 3rd, taken from Alice's bedroom, shows her in the reflection of a mirror, sitting still, and another video from July 15th shows her reflected in the hallway. Russell says that the family was gobsmacked by what they saw, but before they had time to process what it all meant, the Withers video came out. The Withers were at the dam where Alice died on April 3rd, the same day that Bob Smeet took a photo of what appeared to be Alice in the distance. A few months later, when they were checking out the footage they shot that day, they noticed Bob Smeet in the background, and wondered if they might have captured the same figure that he did. Combing through the footage, they did find the figure, but from their closer perspective, it's clear that it wasn't Alice, but Matthew. Matthew explains that he was there that day, wearing Alice's jacket, and he noticed Bob Smeet, but didn't want to get his photo taken, so he wandered off into the bush. He didn't notice the Withers, however, and when they showed their footage, Russell came to Matthew and asked if he was involved in anything else. Matthew didn't want to lie, so he admitted to creating all of the images and videos of Alice's ghost. He explains that June was very interested in having Alice's body exhumed, believing Russell to have misidentified her, and knew that without more evidence, it wouldn't happen, so he created the backyard photo. He created the photo through compositing another image of Alice onto it, and made the videos by reflecting a television showing footage of her in the mirrors. He states that it wasn't about tricking anyone, he just felt that something was better than nothing. The interviewer asks him if he thinks that what he did was ultimately worse for his mother, and he hesitates before admitting that it probably was. For her part, June says that she's not really sure of his reasons, and doesn't think that he really knows why he did it either. When word of this came out, the Palmers were approached by a number of people wanting them to do interviews or write books, and they just didn't know how to handle all of this interest for something so personal. Russell states that this all felt like the end of hope for them, especially for June, who just wasn't ready to let Alice go. Friends of the family remark on how similar Alice was to June, with both of them keeping to themselves a lot, and how they didn't really get along that well. June's mother admits that she could never give herself wholly to June, and thinks that perhaps June could never do the same for Alice. June hopes that Alice did know how much she loved her, despite holding herself back a little as she grew older, stating that her not knowing would be the saddest thing. In late August, Ray suggested to Matthew that he accompany him on one of his country Victorian tours for consultations, and Matthew jumped at the chance. Matthew realized during the trip how much he missed Alice, and that he was never going to speak to her again, which is something that all of Ray's clients are coming to terms with. While away, they left 2 cameras in the house, as Matthew was still convinced that something was going on there. When he got back and checked the tapes, they found more evidence of Alice's ghost inside of the house, with these occurrences not being fabricated. June says that it threw a question mark over everything, and she began combing through all of the footage recorded inside of the house since Alice's death. While looking at the footage from June 13th, in which Matthew faked a figure walking past, June noticed a second figure squatting in the dark in Alice's bedroom. While she initially believed it to be more evidence of Alice's ghost, she realized that it was actually their neighbor, Brett Toohey. Obviously, a man poking around in their daughter's room at night, months after her death, is going to raise some questions, which led June to finding a locked box hidden in her room. Inside it, they found a VHS tape, and it was quite clear that this is what Toohey was looking for, as the tape contained footage of a sexual encounter between Alice and the Toohey's. June says that she couldn't believe her eyes upon seeing it, and it just made her feel so sad. Russell, on the other hand, states that as far as he's concerned, the Toohey's were complicit in Alice's death, as if it wasn't for them, she would have reached out to her parents and not felt guilty. Alice's friends comment that they thought Brett was a nice guy, but they were shocked to find out that Alice would do something like that. The Palmers believe that Alice had the tape because she didn't want the Toohey's to have it, no longer trusting them, and they think that the Toohey's were living in constant fear of being found out after Alice's death. The Toohey family left the town after failing to retrieve the tape, leading to a police investigation that eventually stalled. The Palmers were told that even if the Toohey's were found, they would likely get a suspended sentence due to claiming the encounter was consensual, supported by the video evidence. Alice's boyfriend is asked if he knew about her involvement with them, and he says that obviously he didn't, as they wouldn't have been going out if he did, and he thought that they were doing well. It leaves the Palmers with a lot of unanswered questions of why she was involved with them, when the relationship began, and if she loved the Toohey's. Alice's best friend suggests that perhaps she knew one Alice, her mom knew another, and there was maybe a third Alice that no one knew. There's another revelation discovered when June looks through Alice's diary and finds a business card taped in it, belonging to Ray Khemeini. It's revealed that Alice also had a consultation with Ray about 5 months before she died. When asked why he didn't tell the Palmers about this, he says that he was honoring Alice's request for confidentiality, but it was a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. The Palmers, however, felt that this was a betrayal, regardless of his intentions, so they couldn't trust him any longer, with Matthew no longer speaking to him. Ray believes that what hurt them more than anything was that they felt he failed to see her upcoming death. He says that Alice was a troubled person, and while reading her diary, June finds an entry in which Alice describes an intense nightmare that she had, in which she felt cold and wet and sluggish, and when she woke up, the feelings persisted. Scared, she went to her parents' room to talk to her mom, but as she stood there at their bed, watching them, she was overcome with an intense sadness that turned to fear, as she realized that there was nothing that they could do for her anymore. She never felt so utterly alone, and realized that there was something wrong with her, so she stood there, crying. Also in her planner is her scheduled trip to Lake Mungo for a school trip a few months before her death. When she came back home, she said that she had a good time, but June recalls that she came home without her new cell phone and without her favorite bracelet and watch. June never really thought much of the trip, as Alice didn't really mention it after that, but a year later, her best friend looked at some of the video footage she shot while there and decided to mention it to June. In the blurry footage, a number of Alice's friends are all shown having a good time, while Alice looks quite forlorn. June became convinced that something had happened to her while there, and they ended up with another friend's footage from that night. The footage is hard to decipher, but shows Alice kneeling in the background at the base of a tree. After watching the footage several times, they realized that she was burying something. Knowing now that something had upset Alice on that trip, and wanting to find out what, the Palmers take a trip out to Lake Mungo in February of 2007 to try and find out what she buried. They decided to go out to find the tree and dig up the spot at night to avoid tourists, soon finding a plastic bag. Inside of the bag is Alice's favorite necklace, her ring, her watch, and her cell phone, her most precious possessions. The family charges the cell phone, finding a video on it taken by Alice while wandering off from the camp at night. Amidst the darkness, she is approached by a figure. Russell identifies the face of the individual immediately, it being the same face on the body he identified at the dam, Alice's own, post-mortem. The Palmers have no explanation for this, but during Alice's consultation with Ray, she tells him that during her nightmares, she feels like something bad is going to happen to her, and it just hasn't reached her yet. June is convinced that Alice knew she was going to die, with the burial of her possessions being symbolic. Russell, however, doesn't think so, but does think that she had morbid thoughts and was scared enough by her nightmares to go see Ray. He, along with Matthew, believes that Alice saw a ghost, but she wasn't to know that it was her own. The Palmers now knew about Alice's involvement with the Tuohys, her consultation with Ray, and her encounter at Lake Mungo, and June says that when they returned home from Lake Mungo, the house felt different. She thinks that Alice wanted the family to know more about her and who she was before she could move on. In the months after, they started to feel more like a family again, and even reconnected with Ray. Russell remarks that for each of them, there had been closure, to a degree, and each of them had made their own peace with Alice's death. They didn't really help Alice with anything, they just made a collective decision to all move forward, and a big part of that was actually moving out of their house. June says that moving will be difficult, and sometimes she just forgets that Alice isn't coming back. We're then shown June's final consultation with Ray, in which she once again is told to close her eyes and imagine herself walking into her house. She pictures herself walking towards Alice's room, and this footage is intercut with Alice's own consultation, in which she was told to imagine the same thing. Alice says she hears someone coming down the hall towards her room, and then sees her mom entering the room, not saying anything. She doesn't think that she knows that Alice is there, and in June's consultation, she says that Alice isn't in her room, before leaving. Lastly, we see a series of photos and videos that were shown throughout the film, with Alice's ghostly figure hidden in plain sight. So, is Lake Mungo a horror movie? Perhaps not, but losing a child is always horrific, and what Lake Mungo really is an examination of a family dealing with grief. Sure, it has unquestionable supernatural elements, and there's no doubt that some viewers will be unsettled by parts of the film, but the story here is quite real, despite being fabricated. No one, including her family and friends, really knew everything that was going on in Alice's mind prior to her death, and it would seem that before she could move on, she wanted them to understand her, at least a bit more. In the end, though, the series of events here wasn't really about giving Alice peace, but rather giving peace to the rest of the Palmers. Regardless of what happens after we die, the ones truly affected by it are the ones we leave behind. So while grief can be extremely powerful, confusing, and anguishing, processing it properly is an important part of our lives.